Man, you're late on tick. Well done, Jay. I said to Stephen Cass sitting beside me when Jason O'Sullivan was leading, and then I knew Jason Rafferty was going to be leading communion. And I says, could you imagine what them two cats were up to 10 years ago? And here they are, leading meeting, leading church, and leading communion. God is wonderful, isn't he? I tell you what, that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. It's bringing people to know Jesus and Jesus' plan being worked out in their lives. And it's just a privilege to watch the pair of you. Two of them from Clondalkin. Jason living in a shed. He had his own place before any of us. And Jason found by a taxi man on around Christmas during the snow. Gone and it was both of his legs from injecting. Two wrists broken because he slipped in the snow, and his breastbone sticking out of his chest. And he's lying in the snow at 2 or 3 in the morning up in the north side of the city, and a taxi man spots him. And it wasn't only a taxi man, because many taxi men don't stop for people that are drunk. Not right, AJ? Because they don't know what they're going to get. But this taxi man spots him and stops. And it turned out it was his neighbor that lived near his mom and brought him home. And then he went into Lifeline. Then he got delivered by Jesus. It's amazing the breakthroughs of God. Jason told me a great story. Whatever, it's 3 years now, is it? Him and Adele was up in Liffey Valley and he spotted the taxi man. And Jay got €20 and went over and paid him. God sent him a chariot to bring him into his destiny. God, amazing. Let's give the Lord a clap. Let's thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We just thank you, Lord. There's nobody beyond your reach. We just thank you, Lord. Our loved ones, Lord, wherever they're at, Lord, the ones that we've been praying for, they're not beyond your reach, Lord God. I love when I read in Matthew or John 21, I think, and Jesus walked through the wall. I'm like, there's no barriers to Jesus. Nothing. He just walked right through and started speaking peace to the disciples. And Lord, we just lift up our loved ones. We lift up every circumstance and situation that we're praying into and believing for, Lord God. And we just thank you that we're in a season of breakthrough, Lord. That, Lord, we believe and we receive, Lord God. Lord, what we need to do, say, or rest in, Father, while the breakthrough is coming, Lord God. I pray your peace, Lord, would transcend all understanding right now, Lord God. That, Lord, your peace would be the ruler in our lives, Lord God, while we're waiting on our breakthrough. We trust you, Lord. Your character is trustworthy. And we trust you, Lord, for all the things that are precious to us, Lord. Amen. Amen. Just to let you know, it's next Sunday evening up in Clondalkin at 6 o'clock in Quarry Vale. Quarry Vale is right in the midst of a community, and I love it because that's where we belong as a church. And I was driving out, there was a notorious, they are. The papers called the gangsters. But in the newspaper all the week before we got the okay for the building, and he was just living around the corner in this estate. And I thought to myself, you know what, Lord? Even people that to the world are scum, even get a chance in Jesus. He's so merciful. Because if we knock out one, we knock out all of us. Because it was all of our sin that nailed Jesus to the cross. And amazing that God brings the gospel right to people's doorstep. So I invite you there. It was great last night in Finglas. We had our first service. And the room in Finglas seats about 40. But it was jammed. People were standing up against the back wall and all. And I'm like, that's the way it should be. And that's the way it will be. And it's great when you're in a place that you'll outgrow in a couple of months. And that's a great sign. And just to let you know, this Wednesday evening, there is a very important meeting this Wednesday, SAS, Saints and Scholars. What we're doing is, during this month, last week we had a great worship night out in Bray. Whoever was there, it was no talk, it was just absolute worship unto the Lord. And so that was wonderful. And this Wednesday we're going to talk about vision and finances, because it's good that we know where we're at financially and what we need to project going into the future. And what we're doing, we just done a list of stuff that Liberty is doing. And you know what? We just need to sit and celebrate it. We're a great church and moving forward at a great pace. But that means that we don't sit to celebrate what we've done in last month and what we've done as an outreach to the city. So I guarantee you, we sat there and thought, my goodness, look what these cats are doing in this city. They're reaching out every section. You, Bray, just this 3 months into the year, and out in Bray, there was 3 new outreaches started. There was one to homeless guys, to the methadone clinic on a Monday, one to mothers and toddlers on a Wednesday, and one to women on a Friday. And they're all well attended. That's just 3 in 3 months out there. And we need to sit and celebrate them. And Wednesday night will give us a chance to do that. And also have a financial report and tell you about tax things that we can get back because of your giving. And it'll be a great night of just fellowship and getting together. So put in your diary. Let me see it all put in the diary. Mentally even. I get it. Please be here at 7:30. So Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we're in a season of breakthrough. And we love the Lord. We love the Lord Jesus. Amen. You know, this is our series, and what the Lord put my heart at the beginning of the year was about breakthrough. And I don't know if you Googled right now, well, not now, but if you Googled after the amount of sermons that were done on the prodigal son, how many would you think? Someone shout out. Like, since 2,000 years, well, 1,600 years, we have the scriptures.
Billion,
I'd say. No, I would. No, and imagine all those preachers and teachers that were and believers are sitting under like Luke 15 and tearing that apart and going, oh, I get this out, and God was saying this, and it's about the Father, it's about the Son, it's about the other Son, it's about the pigs dying. You know, you think this is bled dry. Do you know what I mean? That there's nothing new that you're going to get out of this. There's nothing. Is this too high, this? Okay. It's nothing new. You think it's nothing new you're going to get that you haven't heard before. And then all of a sudden, God opens his word up to you. He illuminates it because God's word is not just like on a piece of paper in one dimensional way. God's word is multidimensional. Did you know that it's high and low and wide and deep, and it's 3D, 4D, HD, panoramic? You couldn't believe the way this word, because what the Bible says that this word is alive. That thing is alive. And if you see God, this thing comes alive. And words start jumping out of the paper and gets highlighted that speaks to you and your situation, and yet was written 1,600 years ago. Just hands up if you've ever read the Bible and it's come alive to you. See, I'm not messing. You might be here for the first time. What a day to come to church. You go, that thing's alive. And it's not only him saying it. These cats are saying it. So I was reading it, and the Lord gave me something of it. And I think it's very important for us to hear this, and it's very important for us to follow it through. One is the prodigal son. He was in a pigsty. And where did he get his breakthrough? In the pigsty. But he sustained his breakthrough by going home to his father's house. And we can have our breakthrough in many places, but it's sustained within community. Because it's here we're supposed to look out for each other, sustain one another, spur one another on. I guarantee you get a breakthrough in the pigsty and you think, well, I can just live out this Christian walk on my own. I want to tell you, you're absolutely after being hoodwinked if you ever believe that. That's like saying to my Tom, cut it off, you go, you put it out the door and see how long it will last. I'll never get to hitch a lift again. I'll be never able to say, well done. I'll never be able to say, you're cool ever again because it'll be gone. And that hand, I'll never play the piano like I can play the piano again. I can't play the piano at all. I'd never be able to strum a guitar. I'd never be able to hold a cup. Do you ever try to hold a cup without your thumb? It's hard work. And to get a breakthrough and not come in and not go home and be in a family and be in a community, be in church. That's what God is saying. We'll get breakthroughs. But the sustainability of it is making sure you're linked in, making sure you're serving, making sure you have a body of people around you that will say, I'm for you, I believe in you, that there's a plan. Do you ever get to the place where you think there's no plan for your life? And Jason stands up, and you go, no, there is a plan. And I love Jason Rabbit. He says, look, I haven't always lived there outright, or whatever words he said. But that's us all. But I'm here, he says. Where I never thought I would be, I'm here. That's, you know why he's here? Because of family. Because of you. Because of church. Because of community. And so what we're going to look at is in these breakthrough moments over these weeks and months is that what steps were taken for these breakthroughs? Was there any steps? Was there something that they done, or was there something that God just done? I'm going to find them. And why God gives us the scriptures is so that we can find out his operations and find out what works and what doesn't work. He gives us, listen, John says this, if all the things that Jesus done was to be written in books, all the books in the world wouldn't be able to contain what he done in 3 years. So whatever he writes in the book, in the Bible, it's there like with absolute precision and forensic detail for us to be able to see, because he could have written billions of books. And he puts it in this, he goes, this is going to capture who I am. This is going to capture how we should live with him. This is going to capture his very heart and the essence of who God is in our life. So when he writes that in the book, if there's an if in the Bible, it's there absolutely intentionally. Because he doesn't waste words. Amen. Science is peppered. Medical world is peppered. Art world is peppered. Writing world, poetic world, every avenue of society that you can imagine is peppered with moments of breakthrough. Eureka moments. You know, Archimedes got his eureka moments. Eureka means I found it. It's a Latin word for, or Greek word actually, I found it. So Archimedes, he found out about buoyancy, that was, things can float on water if the weight of them is spread over a little dimension. And he was in the bath when he realized that what buoyancy was, that something could be held. You can get a lump of steel and put it in water, right? And what will it do? Sink. You hammer that out into a bowl and in an even dimension, know what it will do? Flow. And he gets this moment and he jumps up out of the bat. This is what history says. He jumps up and goes, Eureka! Sounds like someone from Ballymun, Eureka! Just the way I said it. I can't say it any other way. It's like I'm calling my sister, Eureka! Come up for your dinner. But he jumps up, and this is what history says. He jumps up going, Eureka, I found it. I found the secret, the mystery. What was hidden is made known now. And that things can flow on water, even if they're heavier in density than water. He runs out into the street absolutely naked, shouting, Eureka! And history is full of those moments when the door opens, the light goes on, the breakthrough comes in absolute incredible ways. Opportunities. And I believe that this is a season of Eureka. And God is going to give us moments of breakthrough and doors open and freedom and healing and restoration and opportunities, divine appointments, encounters, revelation, ideas, insights, foresights that he wants to give us to us, peppered all over our lives and our minds. And we don't have to wait. Downstairs we were talking about when like God will bring breakthrough when Noel gets up to preach. No, he was bringing breakthrough when you were getting welcomed. When the kids were being signed in, when the music got turned on, when the words went on the screen, it's peppered everywhere. And those who are expecting, there it is, there he is. He's saying that. Imagine like one church and all over in different parts of the service that people are going, Eureka! I got it. He loves me. I got it. His peace. I got it. He has more for me than where I'm living at, whatever it may be. Now imagine the Sunday morning. I think that's the way services should be. That's what we need to come in believing and expecting. Not coming in dragging ourselves in. No, God has something for me because of who he is. Even when 5,000 came with no food, Jesus says, I've something for everyone. Give me 2 loaves and fishes and I can feed a lot of them. He doesn't want anyone to go away. He actually went away with more baskets. The leftovers, they all took them away with them. Give me that for me dad. Give me that. That's me lunch for 5 days going to work. And I believe that. And when you get it, share it. Because the overflow of it, as was said earlier, is to bless other people. So let's read this scripture. They'll go up on the screen. It's Luke 15. It's all about lost things being found. And this is what it says. Jesus said, there was a man who had 2 sons, and the younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got all he had together and set off for a distant country. And there he squandered his wealth in wild living. After he'd spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country. Excuse me. And he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of the country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to be filled with his to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer even worthy to be called your son. Just make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to his father, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead, and now he's alive again. He was lost and now he's found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the oldest son was in the field. When he came near to the house, he heard music and dancing." Isn't it amazing the father's into singing and dancing? "So he called one of the servants and asked him, 'What's going on?' 'Your brother's come home,' he replied. 'And your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him home safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So the father went out to him and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. When this son comes home, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me and everything I have is yours. But we have to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and now he's alive again. He was lost, but now he's found. Why wouldn't we celebrate?'" Very quickly, we run through some things. The prodigal son, it says that he came to his senses while he was in a far-off land in a pigsty. Can you imagine him sitting there? Now, for a young Jewish boy to be put in with pigs was the most humiliating thing that could happen to a Jewish person. It was like he wasn't only working with pigs, but he was living and feeding them. And even they had more to eat than he had. And we'd have to, it's like, it's the equivalent of going to the lowest of the low for a Jewish kid. It's like they were the most unclean animal and they were told not to touch it in the Old Testament. And they were living out of Old Testament places. So it was like, how does it get any worse than this? How does it get any lower than this? He was far off, estranged from his father, estranged from his household. Can you imagine when he was looking at the pigs, he was probably thinking about the smell of home cooking. Remember what it was like in my dad's environment. Remember what it was like when my dad and my mom would just cook and the smell of stew coming through the place. And here I am looking at these things. Can you imagine him sitting there thinking of the voice of his dad? Can you imagine him thinking of the banter he'd have with his brother or with the other hard men on the farm? Can you imagine him longing for the house where he'd come from? But here I am. How did I end up here, of all places, with pigs? He was like the psalmist who said he was longing for the Lord's house. Listen to what the psalm says. "I'm asking God for one thing and one thing only, to live with him in his house my whole life long. And when I'm there, I'll contemplate his beauty and I'll study at his feet." He could have thought about this a lot of time. When he got his money, I don't think this son was like, "I'm going to get this money and squander it." I don't think that was his thinking. Maybe it was more like, "I'm going to be an entrepreneur. I'm going to go to far off. I'm going to cut the cords. I'm going to cut the apron strings and move off into my own independence and make my dad proud." I don't think his intention was to hit rock bottom. I don't think his intention was to squander it. I think maybe he moved in with the wrong crowd. I think maybe he'd allowed other influences influence him while he was out there. No one sets out to be in the pit. Nobody. Wake up one morning, ding, that's it, I'm going to wreck my life. I'm going to wreck everyone's around me. Nobody ever does that. But life and circumstances and influence and wrong decision making can bring us to the pit, which usually does. Can you imagine him sitting there like, oh, I had dreams. I was going to have people working for me. I was going to be a good boss. I was going to be a good father. I was going to be all of this. But look at me. And it's in that moment that something interjected his thinking that says to him, go on home. He comes to his senses in the midst of his breakthrough moment. You can imagine him thinking, woe is me. How could I do this? How could I ever face anyone again? This is my law. This is all I have. This is my beginning now. This is my end. This is it. And then in the midst of a boom, he comes to his senses. I'm going home. There's an incredible story that Sharon was told by a taxi man that we know about a guy that we actually know that grew up in the flats. He ended up leaving his home because of alcoholism. And his family couldn't put up anymore, and it was just causing devastation. There was kids involved, and he ended up living on O'Connell Street. He ended up living along the boulevard there. That's where he ended up. And he was there forever and ever in a day. And this American couple were going along the boulevard, and they seen him there. And went home and got him a coffee and a sandwich and went back over and started talking to him. And he started telling them the story. So the girl said to him, why don't you go home? So we did. He got up and walked home. Years on the street, knocked at the door. Through whatever discussion, through whatever decisions, the wife put him into the spare room. He's a playwright now. He writes plays. I seen him on the Late Late Show about a year ago, sitting there. Someone says, why don't you go home? Another thought interjected where he was at. I says, why don't you go home? And the way the taxi man said, so we did. And this guy, imagine, he's sitting there with all this going on, and boom, a thought came. I'm going to do something about this. I'm going to get up, and I'm going to go home. And I don't care what I'm going to face there. If my dad says you're working with the hard hands, I'm working with the hard hands. I don't care, but I'm going home. And something happened, and this is my first point. Breakthrough thinking came. That he was thinking, but another thought came. And it interjected where he was at. Because circumstances, no matter where we're at, no matter what we're in, that like something, our behavior won't change unless our thinking change. That where we're at in life will not be changed one iota unless something is changed in there. Unless there's what I want to call divine thinking being just infused into our mind. Romans 12 says that we are transformed by the renewing of our mind. That this transformation comes when we start thinking differently, when we start allowing the thoughts of God to come in. Listen to what Isaiah says, and it's in Corinthians, but it's quoting Isaiah. For who has known or understood the mind of the Lord so as to guide and instruct him and give him knowledge? The question is, who can know the mind of God? Isaiah asks us the question, who can know the deep things of God? Who can know divine thinking? And he's posing the question in Corinthians. And then he finishes it by going, but we have the mind of Christ Jesus. We have the believers. We know his thoughts and his feelings. And we know the purposes of God's heart. The Amplified Version says. So he says, he quotes Isaiah saying, Isaiah was talking in the Old Testament. Who can know the thoughts of God? Who can have divine thinking? And he says, now I'm going to answer you. That those who are in Christ, you can know the mind and the heart and the purposes of God. Of God. What about us? Are we not those who Paul is talking about? So what divine thinking do we need to have? One is, this is not my end. That's divine thinking. God works all things out for the good for those who love him and according to his purposes. That's divine thinking because he's allowed his thoughts to be put on paper. So I can sit in the pigsty and say, this is all I have. Or I can say, no, I'm going to start thinking God's thoughts. God says, this is not my end. God says, I can get out of this. God says that he can even work the pigsty for my good. Now I'm going to start believing him. Because my own thinking is warped. And if I start thinking according to this, I'll get up and slaughter those pigs or something. Then I'll lose my job. Then I'll starve to death altogether. So I can't go with my thinking. And I can't even trust my own thinking at times. So I'm going to have to pull out of somewhere else. I'm going to have to draw on something else that's perfect. And the Bible says that the law, the word of God, is perfect. So divine thinking, something interjecting my way, my thinking. The Bible says, Isaiah says again, he can make a way where there doesn't even seem to be a way. Just ask the million that came out of Egypt. No way out of this. Pharaoh's come to kill us. He can make a way where there doesn't even seem to be a way. It doesn't look good now. My life is this, my life is that. Listen, divine thinking is he can make a way. It's not my thinking. I might tell you today he can make a day, and you might meet me tomorrow and I don't really know. That's my thinking. But when I draw on his, I can have absolute assurance and confidence that I can say it's not based on who I am, but based on who he is and what he has said, that he will make a way where there doesn't even seem to be a way. And the Lord wants to give us divine thinking. He wants us to draw it out of the scriptures, what God has to say around us. And this guy, I'm getting up. So put into a nutshell, it was like the word of God comes to him. Well, why don't you go home? All right. And he starts walking. He not only had breakthrough thinking, he'd breakthrough hearing. And God wants to give us breakthrough hearing. The Lord wants us to hear him. The Lord wants us to know what the scriptures are saying. The Lord wants us to hear him when we pray. When we don't know where we're going or what we're going to do, Jim Cimbala, the pastor of Brooklyn Tabernacle, says that we've lost the art of waiting to hear God for direction. The kings went to Jeremiah the prophet and says the army was coming against him, and the king sent messengers and says, ask the prophet, what should we do and where should we go? Saying, you're hearing from God. What should we do and where should we go? And I don't know about you, but lots of times, like, we have the habit, and me at the head of it, saying, I'm going to do this and God will bless it. Instead of saying, God, what will I do and where will I go? Who will be involved? And it's like I get ahead of myself and I run. I'm like, I'll do it, Lord, but you bless what I'm telling I want. And the king says to the prophet, will you find out what God wants? But we don't have to wait on the prophet because we have the mind of Christ. And if we put ourselves before him in prayer, in worship, in expectation without frustration. Do you know what I call that? You know that when you're waiting to hear God and you do all the right things, you pray, you fast, you go to every meeting, you look for every prophet, wherever, and you still don't hear God. That's expectation with frustration. But expectation without frustration is this. Lord, whenever you're good and ready to speak to me, I'm listening. I'm going to do this natural. I'm going to walk with you every day. I'm going to worship you like I do every day. Instead of we think we have to put in 50, 100 things extra for God to speak to us. And he's able to get his voice to you. I told you time I was lost in America. You think I got lost in Dublin? Whoever knows me. I got lost going up the stairs in my own home. I've gone to that Quarry Vale Community Centre 20 different ways. I was in America lost. My wife, my kids. Going to meet a guy that I didn't know to stay in his house. They said he could have been a murderer. He loves Jesus. As he stood over me with a big blade. I was like, Lord, I don't know where. I know the house. I knew it was over to me left somewhere in Fort Lauderdale. I'm coming into his estate trying to go, the address, couldn't find it. And I says, Lord, help me, I don't know. This is no word of a lie. An airplane in the sky. Everyone, Jesus loves you. Noel.
I put that in.
But I wrote, Jesus loves you. And I goes, wow, look at that for a sign. The Lord is with us. It's all right. You're really in the sky. And when we got your man's gaff, it was right over his house. I kid you not, wasn't it, Sharon?
I said, told you, Sharon.
God knows how to get to you what he wants you to hear. We don't have to stop up the wells by doing. We just have to wait, believe, trust that he will get his message to us. Because we have this thing about God. Well, if we miss it, we missed it. No, if you miss it, he'll tell you again. If you miss it, he'll probably write it in the sky. It might come through prophets and words and scriptures and people. Just like that's why we have to honor everyone with me, because they could have your answer. And we go, no, you're not good enough because you're not the pastor. You're not good enough because you're not a prophet or whatever. And God says, hey, you just missed it. Just missed. And you might have to go around the block again of more frustration. That's why we have to honor. That's why the Bible says, prefer one another over yourself. Breakthrough wisdom. The Lord wants to give us divine wisdom. How do I get out of this? What's the answer? What's the answer to the question? How do I fit this into the bigger picture? Who's next? And what's the next step for me? He wants to give it to us. Solomon was the wisest man in the world, yeah? That's what we say. James says, if anyone lacks wisdom, God will give you generously double portions. Ask, you have not because you ask not. If we ask for divine wisdom, he's promised us that he gives us double portions. Without finding fault, by the way. Meaning, you didn't do anything with the last wisdom I gave you. Therefore, you're not getting any more. He says, without finding any fault. He doesn't look for reasons to disqualify us. Looks for a reason to get everywhere, everything to us. Divine hearing, divine wisdom, divine thinking. And the son got breakthrough steps. He took up the challenge. Whatever it takes for me to get back into my father's house, I'm going to do it. Now you imagine the things that he had to overcome. He had to say goodbye to the boss, which probably wasn't hard. He had to say goodbye to the pigs, which probably wasn't hard. But on his way home, he had to block out other voices. Well, what would me dad say? What would me brother say? What will the neighbors think of me coming back now? I left there with all these goals and ambitions, with all these dreams and aspirations, and now I'm coming back with the smell of pig off me. Because he didn't have a chance to go to the local gym and get dolled up. He had to come back in his rags. What will they say? What shame am I going to bring? What voices did he have to block out? But he made a decision, I'm going to overcome the voices or what everyone else thinks for me to get to where I need to be. And he starts to walk it out. Because as you walk it out, God starts to work it out. If he'd have stayed in the pigsty, or go home, or go home, go home. You're not going anywhere, son. You're still in the pigsty. But if you start walking out, God starts to honor because he won't invade and drag you. I wish he would. And maybe the famine was part of the dragon. Of getting him to where he needs to be. He took giant steps. Walking home. I was caught in the hop one time when I was a little kid from school. I knew this Mrs. Brown see me on the, she was on the bus and I was going over to get a loose cigarette over the shop. And I looked up to the bus and I was like, she's a rat. She's going to tell me, ma. I knew. I'm like, she would never keep this to herself. And I'm like, I'm done. And that was like 9 in the morning or 10 in the morning. So it wasn't home till 20 to 4. So I had all day to think of, ma, I was just going to shop with the teacher. Like, you know all the excuses. I'm walking home, ma, this, ma, that. When I open the door, I'd have a big excuse. I open the door, smack across the head. You got missing from school today. Miss Brown told me. Like, imagine him walking home. Da, it wasn't my fault. He took all the steps that he had to take. What will my brother say? What will the neighbor say? What will the hired hand say? All of this, and he shut them out. But now he had to face his dad. Dad, it was these guys I met. It was, you know, all the excuses. But the joint step he took was, I done wrong, forgive me. Father, forgive me. I've sinned against you and I've sinned against heaven. That was the joint step. That was like the restoration step. That was like the step that, and I noticed the father allowed him. If you read that very quickly, you think the father just ran out and hugged him. But the father allowed him to say, I've sinned against heaven, I've sinned against you. Because the father knew that was his breakthrough into family, into release. The moment came, but it was like that was to get him back in the door of absolute comfortability in walking through. He didn't just come in and everything was hunky-dory. Like, he had to walk through his shame. He had to walk through his guilt. He had to walk through the smell. He had to walk through his disasters. But in the environment of his father's house, it took him to go, Father, don't do anything yet till I tell you this. I've wronged this. I've wronged you. And I've wronged heaven. And I'm asking, if you want to punish me, just make me one of the hired hands. And the father says, I'm having a party. And it was repentance that led to the party. It was repentance that led. Some people think, I had a friend that I used to play football with. I can't tell you what I really used to do with him. It was like football. Is this be on podcast? Only could listen. But this man was a tremendous father. He'd lived in alcoholism for years. And when he got himself right, he was in his house and his wife ridiculed him every single day. I used to sit there. I just want to scream. Leave him alone. This man had done everything. Just to show that he turned his life around. And that wasn't his thinking anymore, even. But repentance is that when he said to the Father, Father, forgive me, I've sinned against heaven and earth. The Father didn't say, well, I'll give you 6 months to see any good. I'll let you try work it out. He didn't give her all that. The Father says, get the calf, get the band, get the barbecue out. We're having a party. It wasn't like you have to penance and walk your way through. The Father trusted. If he wanted to blow it, he could have blown it again. This is what God does. When we come to God, it's not penance, feeling, let you feel rotten for another couple of months. It's the same. My son is home. Relationship is restored. And the breakthrough unfolded all of the time as he walked around and walked around. And for me, that's what we get from the prodigal son. When his breakthrough came, the hired hands have a party. The other son gets brought into right thinking. Everything I have is yours. He didn't know that. He even gets his breakthrough brought blessing to other people. You know, the first computer that was built would fit in this room. True, there was a huge, gigantic, big computer. And a man, a naval officer, got breakthrough. You know what he invented? The mouse? No. And he invented Windows. First version of Windows. And out of his breakthroughs, like what? We have an iPad, an iPhone, and we have everything that, out of his breakthroughs, the world gets a breakthrough. And now the prodigal son breakthrough, the brother gets a breakthrough, the father gets a breakthrough, the family gets a breakthrough, the hired hands even get a breakthrough because they had the big huge party out of his breakthrough. And I guarantee you, when you get your breakthrough, it overflows. Amen? Amen. Let's stand and pray. Father, we thank you. Do you know what? You may be far off from the Father. You may have never even come to God the Father. Maybe this is your day. Lord, I know I've done things wrong against you and against heaven. I accept your forgiveness. I believe Jesus paid my price already for my sin, and I receive the payment that he took and the benefits and the blessing and the favor because you took He took my sins from me. So today, Father, I don't really know, but here's my first step. I'm coming home. And you've never been in the house at all. We'll get to us that has been in the house in a minute. But you've never been in the house. You've never asked God to be your dad. This morning, would you say, no, will you include me in your prayer, just boy? Well, every eye is closed, just put up your hands. No, include me in the prayer. I want, thank you, thank you, thank you. I want God to be my Father. Some people think because we're in the human race, we're God's children. We're not. It's an act. It's an adoption. And you've never given your heart. You've never asked him to be your dad. Just quickly put up your hand and put it back down. Yeah, no, I want God to be my Father. Thank you. And here it is. Let's say this together. Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. Forgive me. I receive your forgiveness. I enter in to a new home, your home, with your blessing, with your protection, and in your presence. Fill me with the Holy Spirit, because that's the deposit of my sonship. Father, I speak your blessing over each one right now in Jesus' name. Like if Suzette or anyone is there and you need to get your kids in 5 minutes, you can do that. But this is very quickly, not drawing out thing. But you're just like in a place where you need breakthrough. And we're going to step out and we're going to believe God. And you're going to step out and believe God. It mightn't be the pig story that I've described. It might be some other story. It might be just some other place where you feel like I'm waiting. I believe in God for a breakthrough. Well, let's activate it today. Just come quickly to the front and we're just going to pray a prayer. Yeah, I'm believing for breakthrough. And this, you just bring it before the Lord. Just bring it right now, Lord. I need my thinking changed. I need my behavior changed. I need divine thinking, Lord God. I need breakthrough, Lord, Father, in behavior. But I know something has to change in the way I think, the way I view things, the way I see God. Lord, I need you, Lord. I need breakthrough in miracles, Lord, in the area of miracles and signs and wonders. I need breakthrough with a family member. I need breakthrough with this body of mine. I need breakthrough, Lord God, in a job situation, Lord God. Lord, I need to hear the next step. I need to hear where I go from here, Lord. I need to, Lord, just find new energy to start walking.
to start walking so I can give you the space to start working, Lord. I just need that energy, Lord. I just need that oomph. I need that injection of thoughts that's divine from heaven. That says this is the way to walk in it. I need you, Lord. I want you, Lord. I desire your will above mine, Lord. I desire your ways above my ways. Lord, this is what I pray for each one of my brothers and sisters, all of us included. That, Lord, there be an impartation of the gift of faith. It's like believing against the odds. It's like believing, not like you're trying to, I'm just going to believe God. It's not about trying, it's about trusting Him. I'm tired of trying. The prodigal son, he was sitting in the pigsty and something came to him. And Lord, I believe because it's a gift that comes to us. We're not working for it. We're receiving it. It's like unshakable faith. It's like unshakable belief. Not from yourself, because then you won't be able to boast about it. It's by grace. It won't be, I'm a great man of God, I'm a great woman, look what I believe. No, it was by grace He imparted this to me. We just put out our hands to receive, Lord. We receive the divine. We receive divine thinking. The psalmist says this, how numerous are your thoughts towards me, O God. The more numerous than the sand on the seashore. I pray like raindrops, the thoughts of God would drop on our heads. You know what Jeremiah 29:11 says in another translation? For I know the thoughts I have towards you, O God, says God. Thoughts of a hope and a future. Let it rain, Lord. Let it rain. Let it rain, Lord. Let it rain, O God. Let it rain. Let the Eureka of God come. Divine Eureka. My breakthrough. Oh, I get it, Lord. I get it, Lord. I found it. This is what the Father has said to me. This is how I get out of this place. This is the answer to my problem. This is it. This is the steps I need to take. No more looking to man for now. We're just looking to heaven. Divine moments. Divine breakthroughs. Divine appointments. Divine ideas. We worship you, Lord. We just receive right now, Lord, and we worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. I heard a great line in a song just this morning. Now, when Jesus walks in the room, he says, there goes all of the perfume bottles all over the floor. Talking about the lady in the Bible that just broke the alabaster jar full of expensive perfume. She couldn't help herself because she seen the beauty and the majesty and the love and the compassion and the power and the gentleness of Jesus. And she couldn't help herself but worship. Divine hearing, divine thinking, divine activation, divine walking always results in worship. Always. Should always. So just receive what God has. Your breakthrough might be peace right now. It might be healing of heart issues. It might be the thought that it's the step that you need to take. The breakthrough in business, breakthrough favor. But just ask Him right now. Just say, I don't even know whether ask Him is even the right word. Just receive. Because if we ask, we might be asking for something we don't even need right now. So we just trust that you'll give us what's on your heart for us, Lord. And we might think we want a breakthrough there, but we need a breakthrough somewhere else first. So we're not going to ask. I'll take that back. We just received.